Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Megan, how's it going?
Oh, it is going. School is about to start around here, and so today we are talking about getting ready for school. I know a lot of listeners have been in school for a while, but you know, I look at the back to school thing as not like a one day event, but a season that takes some time to kind of ease into sometimes. And just, you know, you're not done buying stuff on the first day, unfortunately.
No. Or adjusting to the new routines or
schedules. Right, or any of that stuff.
Actually, when this episode airs, this is episode 17, and when it airs, it should be our first day of school for my oldest, my second grader. So happy first day of school to me in the future.
In the future, which is going to be the present when this actually publishes. This is very, I can't really wrap my brain around that, but it's like we're in a fourth dimension right now or something. Anyway, so we're going to talk all about the back to school process. And you know, last week's episode was a little rambly and thinky, and this is going to be one of those more tippy, helpful ones. We like to
Give you guys some takeaways.
Some takeaways.
I'm going to try.
But first, I'm going to hand it over to Sarah because she's got some things to say.
Yeah, I do. You know, I really wanted to just welcome our new listeners. This is a relatively new podcast, and we have people writing to us that they just discovered us all the time. We kind of feel like we're hitting our groove a little. We really enjoy recording and talking to you guys and hearing from you. But if this is the first time you are listening to this show, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We hope you keep listening. A great way to get to know us better is go back and listen to old episodes. Most of our topics are pretty timeless or can be applicable at any time. Not today's back to school, but I would say, wouldn't you say, Megan, for the most part, it's not like if you listen to us back in June, you won't get something out of it.
No, and I think that like Netflix, most people binge listen to podcasts. That's totally what I do.
Yeah, totally. Especially when you catch, if I find a new podcast and it's had 274 episodes, I probably won't. But if I catch one relatively early, like we're still, you know, hitting our stride, go back and listen.
You could listen to every single episode in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I challenge you to do that, actually.
We know people have. They've written to us. Yeah. But just in case this is your first day of listening to us, welcome. We are at themomhour.com. We are at themomhour on Twitter. And you can always email us hello@themomhour.com. We're also part of Megan's amazing Life Listened podcast network. So if you binge listen to all of us and want more, there's some other great shows at lifelistened.com. So I just didn't want to, sometimes we launch right in because we can't wait. And I never want to leave new listeners behind being like, who are these people? where am I? Yeah, so welcome. We're glad you're here. And we're just grateful for all listeners, new
and very grateful.
It
has been a wonderful surprise to see how much people have embraced this show.
Completely. So. Oh, and one more shout out. We've heard also from a couple of newer moms lately. If you have a baby or toddler and you're newer, Megan and I kind of define new mom as like the first couple years. I've got some really great shows planned for you guys in the next few weeks. So stick with us. We've talked a little bit. We've been kind of focused on the school age lately because with the summer and back to school and all of that. But we really, between us, we have kids 2 to almost 18. And we've obviously been through the baby and toddler years. So we've got some great show topics and ideas coming down the pipeline for you all who are newer to motherhood. So stick with us.
And we also are going to tackle
enjoy this preview into your future life.
We're also going to tackle some of the topics that people have emailed us and suggested. So please keep that coming because we love that. Sometimes we can't get to it right away because we already have other stuff planned, but we've got several of you in the hopper, as they say. So
Yes. Cool. Those were my two things I wanted to, my two shout outs.
All right.
So why don't you kick us off?
Back to school. Okay. So I love I think so many of us love the back to school season, but also kind of have a love hate with it because, for me, we're going on a vacation for the whole last week of our summer vacation.
Okay.
So I just realized that I have like today and like Monday to get completely ready.
Right.
I haven't even emptied the kids' backpacks from last
year. Nice.
I put them in our front hall closet and I said I would deal with it later and I didn't deal with it. I mean, you know, I went through to make sure there weren't bananas in there or whatever, no, I have not emptied them out. I mean, at this point, I kind of feel like it's going to be a pretty perfunctory look and mostly recycle bin, but it's just like that feeling of, oh my gosh, like we are so out of that. And you always feel like on that last day of school, you have this long span of summer stretching out ahead of you just, you know, forever and ever. And then suddenly, what? It's gone. And here we are back. So I've got to do shopping. I've got to get back on our lunch making, you know, routine. I've got to get all that stuff going. And it's tricky. So I thought we could maybe talk about, specifically, I want to talk about shopping because I think that's one thing that can be a real challenge. And as someone with five kids in school, last year I had three in the same school. And so imagine working off of three different shopping lists at the store. It was pretty maddening.
No, you're talking school supplies, right?
Yes, I'm talking about school supplies. Yes. Yeah.
Because I think we should talk about clothes shopping,
too. Well, we should talk about that, too.
But yes, for sure. Supplies. Okay.
Sarah, I'm already getting myself disorganized here. Why don't you help me round up my, like, help me round up my thoughts here.
No, no, no. I'm with you. I'm with you. I just wanted to make sure that we were looking at the same list.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get school supply lists per grade, right? So do we.
Yes. So they're different. And also, what sometimes will be, too, is it'll be like for donations to the classroom, it'll be like if you're in K or 2, you bring X. And if you're in first or third, you bring Y. And I don't, at the beginning of the school year, I can't even remember what grades my kids are in. I'm still thinking of last year. So I can't tell you how many times I've brought the wrong stuff in because I've been going off the wrong list. But yeah, so each teacher, we just got our packets today. We know which teachers the kids have.
Oh, you do already?
Yep, just found out.
We start sooner than you, but we do not find out teacher assignments until 4 p.m. the day before. And I'm sure they do that so that to minimize
people
the amount
complain.
Of time people can freak out.
We got ours today, and I don't actually know either of the teachers very well. I try to be open-minded. I know they're not, you know, they're not the ones that have been at the school forever that everyone loves and everyone wants to get, but I feel like everyone starts someplace, and it's not really fair for me to want my precious little angels to always get the teacher everyone loves. The new teacher has to get a shot too. So that's kind of where we're at with that. But, you know, so we have some supplies to get, and I just got the lists. I want to point out a couple things about this before we even launch into the like the strategy for making this work. The first thing I would say is, you know, yes, there are certain things your kids have to have on day one, but most stuff your kids won't even use for weeks.
Right.
So I look at like the back to school shopping period as sort of a fluid thing. And if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, you really won't know right away. I mean, I used to freak out like when my kids first started the upper. You know, like past sixth grade, because in sixth grade, it's still a little, you know, it's still pretty normal, like what you'd expect from elementary school. But seventh, eighth, and then up, each teacher has their own requirements. And you usually don't get those until the first day of school, because that's when the kid gets their syllabus and they find out what they need.
Right.
So you have some built-in time at that level. But also, I feel like even at the elementary school level, you know, if you don't show up on day one with all of the sanitizing wipes and tissue boxes that your teacher asked for, that's okay, because they're not going to use them all on the first day. And, you know, maybe it might even like kind of cut down on some of that crazy influx of stuff they probably have to deal with on that first day.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure they're not in a position to deal with.
All the teachers will tell you that that's a rolling need. And, you know, they need that kind of stuff all throughout the year. Ours, it's interesting. Ours makes very clear that it is strictly voluntary, which I don't know if it's because they've gotten pushback that, you know, not all families are in a position where they can, you know, afford to contribute everything. Or so I think it's nice that they do. They kind of say that, like, here's what we need. And this is voluntary contributions. So anyway, go ahead. But
Yeah, ours is like that too.
You won't get in trouble if you don't show up on the first day.
Totally. And in our school, and this varies a lot by school too, in our school actually all supplies are voluntary. The school does technically provide budget for all supplies, but all the, you know, the teachers love it if you can bring stuff
in. Oh my gosh.
We always do. And I mean, but again, there's been years I've probably missed something on the list, and I have not gotten a nasty letter sent home, and I've not gone to mom jail.
I'm sure they don't even notice,
right?
They're pooling all of
the, pool it, right.
You know. But don't you love how funny and specific these lists are?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was comparing notes with my friends, and I have a second grader, and then I have some friends with either a first or a third grader, and we were laughing that the second graders need those dry erase, like personal dry erase boards, you know?
Right, yep.
And But there's no dry erase markers on our list, which I thought was interesting. You know, okay, yeah. I guess that's being supplied another way.
Right.
But the first graders have dry erase markers on their list and no whiteboards.
And no boards. So it's almost like they intentionally... Maybe they're going to be shared projects and they're going to get together and do them.
Yeah, or who knows? Or maybe I don't know. I don't know.
It is very specific.
And my one friend, my one friend was like, I am one red ballpoint pen short of being done with this list. And she's like, I have to go, you know, wherever. I was like, I have red ballpoint pens. I think they came back from first grade last year because I think our teacher actually put a few things together, especially if they were things they knew the kids would use at home, and actually sent them back at the end of the year.
Oh, we got a ton of stuff back in the
past. So I have all these, and I don't like red pens. It's like a writer-editor thing with me. I'm not going to write with a red pen unless I am actually editing something.
Right. Yeah.
And so I gave my friend a red pen, and that completed her list. But it is so specific.
It's spent many afternoons like scouring the school supplies section, trying to find a green folder that does or does not have pockets, depending on what they want, or does or does not have three ring, you know, binder holes or whatever. Amazon is actually really good for that. If you can't find something super specific, just get it. Get Amazon Prime. It'll be at your house like the next day.
I did not go. The last 2 years I have done exclusively Amazon.
Awesome.
And it does mean that sometimes I buy more of something. Like they need the, you know, the hand wipes, and the best Prime deal is like a 6-pack, but I'll use them at home, you know?
Right.
So I have not gone out into the world the last 2 years.
That's very smart. Something I do actually, and again, I don't have toddlers to deal with.
Right.
Target,
you don't have
which is real fun.
Kids
I really do kind of enjoy buying supplies. So part of me wants to make that trek, but I sort of want to do it on my own terms. So if something starts to get frustrating or I can't find stuff, you know, if I already filled up my cart with Elmer's glue and pencils and all those things and I can't find what I need, I just forget it. I just walk away and I go home my strategy is I just get brown paper bags like from the grocery store and I just put all the lists in front of me. Sometimes I compile the lists into one if they're too different. But sometimes I don't have to do that. And I just pick stuff up out of the pack, you know, throw it in that kid's bag, check it off as I go, see what I'm missing, and put an order in online. And I try not to freak out about it.
I was just going to say on that Amazon is a great, Prime is a great tool. And like I said, the one thing you sometimes run into is that the better deal or the Prime deal is on a higher quantity. But you can, if you have friends in the same grade, you can definitely pool together and get the 6-pack of the whiteboards or whatever it is. And it's more affordable for everyone and it's not hunting down that, you know, hard to find item.
So we didn't technically come into this episode with a sponsor, but this episode is now sponsored by Amazon Prime. Please go to themomhour.com and find episode 17.
Everyone uses Amazon Prime already.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. And actually, we do have an affiliate relationship with them. And I want to say they were offering some deal on Prime. So I'll try to dig that up. We'll have a link at themomhour.com episode 15 because 17. I mean, 17. I use Prime all the time.
Yeah, me too.
That rhymed. I mean, it's gotten so ridiculously easy to shop with it. It's just if I want something, I just jump on and you don't have to think about it. You just, it's like one click. It's at your house. And you already get free shipping, 2-day shipping. Sometimes I get it in a day. I mean, it's.
Yeah. And I have my little list going. Last episode, we talked about lists and organization. I always have a list going of things to put in my Amazon order because sometimes if it's not super urgent, if I don't need it in 2 days, but I know it's a great thing that I'm not going to have to run out for, then, you know, I just put it on the list and sit down eventually and put a bunch of things in my cart. So.
Can we make another comment? Nope, it's over. The show's done. I want to make another comment about things having to be done on the first day. And this kind of also relates to a recommended purchase that I will also include in the show notes, or we will include.
Okay.
I would recommend having an electric pencil sharpener in your house. If you don't
I know
already
we did that
one.
Just this last year. Do you have one that you
I
love?
I do. And I would actually recommend getting one that plugs into the wall as opposed to a battery-operated one.
That's what we have.
Because those batteries will go out faster than you would imagine. And it's a real pain to have to then go dig them out of a remote control or whatever to charge it back up again. But on that same – because, you know, that is one of those things. It'll be like 40 sharpened pencils, and then you'll go to the store and all the pre-sharpened pencils are gone.
Right. Or you're like me and you thought you were ordering pre-sharpened from Amazon and they arrive unsharpened. But I did not fret because I did make that purchase last year.
Get yourself
a
good pencil sharpener. Not one of these little plastic ones where the top pops off. I did that for years And I don't know what I was thinking. It was terrible.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. Also, the little kids love it. It's a good job. We talked about chores a couple of weeks ago. Sharpening all the pencils is a good job for your 4, 5, 6 year olds.
It's a great job. On that note, if you still have, you know, several kids in school and, you know, even with your electronic sharpener, it's just too big of a job for you to be doing the night before when you're trying to get everything else going, just sharpen a few today and then sharpen the rest later. Because unless your kid has a serious problem with the force of their hand, they're not going to break 5 pencil sharp, you know, pencil leads in one day. So that doesn't all have to be done day one.
In so many classrooms, a lot of those kind of things get pooled anyway. Right. So it's not like, it's funny. I saw a comment on Facebook about kind of the ridiculousness of some of these lists, which I can relate to. Sometimes they're really long and specific, but the comment was, I mean, really, is a classroom going to go through 400 pencils this year? And the backlash was from people. They really do. Yes. And I have to come down on the side of yes, they really do. I spent time in the first grade classroom last year, and they, I mean, it's like they are hemorrhaging pencils. A lot of times because of the erasers, nobody ever has an eraser ever. I mean, those erasers are chewed, bitten, and used off the end in 5 hot seconds. So yes, they really do need that many pencils, but no, they absolutely don't need them on the first day. And your kid does not need the 40 of them in their pencil box, because for the most part, it's kind of pooled anyway. And
it helps to know how your teacher handles it. I don't think in our school, I don't think those things are necessarily pooled, because my kids, when they go in with their pencil box at the beginning of the year, they mostly come back with the same stuff at the end. But if, you know, but even then, either way, they're not, you know, the fact that they don't yet have their 64 Crayola crayons or, you know, God forbid you get Rose Art on that first day, it is not going to make or break their first grade career. So you have a little time, I guess, is what we're getting at here. You can kind of ease in.
Yes.
And so don't let that first day thing be such a looming, you know, like a looming thing. And, you know, this is a good way to transition into back to school clothes shopping. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Okay, first of all, I don't know about your weather, how much it changes. Not much, right?
No.
But here, it'll be summer on the first day of school. I mean, it will be hot, probably.
Yeah, actually, we have hotter September, Octobers than we do, because we're coastal, so we have like June gloom a little bit. So we're hotter, we're more summery in September and even October than we are in like June.
Yeah. So the clothes,
it'll be hot till November.
Well, I think it's great for kids to have like that one special outfit to start the first day of school with. You don't need to do all of your back to school clothing shopping before the first day of school.
Agreed.
And I need to back up really quick because I forgot to mention one other thing. There's a new podcast called Edit Your Life that our friends Christine Koh and Asha Dornfest just came out with. I think they may be on their 3rd or 4th episode. Yeah. And in their 2nd episode, they gave us a big shout out. They called me a robot. But I think they meant it in a good way. Anyway, it just so happened they were talking about.
I think they also said you have like 17 or 18 kids.
Yeah, they did. They were exaggerating. They know that I only have 15. Just kidding.
Exaggerators.
But I will say one thing, they were talking about back to school shopping, and Asha made this really good point that I've, just because I've had kids for so long now, is just second nature for me. But I could think back to like when I had, you know, the one first grader, how horrified I would have been by this. And she was like, you know, you can reuse old school supplies. And especially in our case, since we don't pool for the most part, we reuse stuff like pens and pencils. I mean, notebooks, if they, you know, your kids always come home with that one notebook that has like one page written on it.
Right.
Tear it out.
Right.
And if they wrote their name on the top and it's like the wrong subject, put a little piece, like a little label over it or something, or scribble it out. Who cares?
Right.
It's like, you're not going to throw that notebook away because it happened to travel to the school last year and then travel home. So a lot of things can be reused. And especially if your kids don't pool. I just think that's a really good way to like
save
yourself some work.
And I think if you have younger kids, this is good time to ask yourself now kind of where you stand on these things, or just think about it, because this is one place where it is so easy to get sucked into just like hive mind of like everyone goes out and buys new stuff for back to school. And like you said, it's kind of fun. As adults, we're nostalgic for that feeling of, you know, shiny new everything. Mm-hmm. So my kids have had the same backpacks my kids don't take a bus. They don't walk to school where they're dragging stuff in the dirt. They just don't. Their backpacks have not seen a lot of hard wear. And I haven't bought a new backpack since. So Allegra will go to second grade. with the same backpack she's had since kindergarten. Now, it's Pottery Barn, so it was a nice one, and it's high quality, and it was looking really bad at the end of last year, and I washed it in the washing machine thinking, well, it's either going to look good or fall apart. It's going to be the end, and it looks amazing. Amazing. Like, why did I wait so long to wash it in the washing machine? And Reed's going to kindergarten, which feels like, oh my gosh, like, and he... His backpack actually has never been used because he got one with a lunchbox that matched for preschool, but they didn't need a backpack for preschool. Right. It's just a lunchbox. And then I got sucked in a little bit. I was like, well, I should get him a new lunchbox. He would like that. He doesn't care. To him, it's like a familiar dinosaur lunchbox in great shape. So I think it's so easy to be like, well, it's so fun. You get the little rush, like, right? Like the consumption rush. About buying something new. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think we can be intentional about what really is special to buy new. And we're also training our kids of what to expect. So if you have young ones and they don't know any different, they may not care about a new lunchbox, backpack, or first day of school outfit.
Absolutely.
Just kind of my two cents. That's not at all saying negative things about the fun of buying those new things if you need them and that's what's you've decided is meaningful. Does that make sense?
What we do every year is we decide what kid's going to get a new what and what kid's not going to get a new whatever, you know? So it's like sometimes, like Clara's not getting a new backpack this year because hers is in great shape. She picked it out from Land's End. It's got a leopard cheetah print on it that she loves. She's still into it. It's in great shape. She's reusing it. She'll probably get a new lunchbox this year because the one she had last year was just not a very nice one. It got cracked. It just doesn't look right. Yeah. So, but on the other hand, the boys were using these really high quality lunchboxes that we got that we can actually link to the – we did a whole lunchbox series a few years ago, like really went into a lot of details about kind of our strategies for getting lunches packed or mine at the time, I guess. Did you even have kids in school at the time?
No.
No. Gosh. Okay.
I think that might have even been before me, maybe.
Was that before you? Was it that long ago? Golly. Okay. Well, it's been a while. I did this whole series about lunchboxes and reviewed a bunch of lunchboxes and got some really nice lunchboxes out of the deals from, I think I got one from Land's End. I got one from One Step Ahead. So anyway, those get reused, and the kids are not going to get new lunchboxes, maybe ever.
Right.
You know, Clara will just because I let her pick hers out last year. It was like a My Little Pony, you know. But yeah. So anyway, it's like you said, some things you get new, some things you don't get new. But I think every year you could make that decision differently.
Absolutely, and from year to year. And the kids won't know what to expect unless you just. You know, but unless they expect to get it new every year, you know, they don't know any different. Another quick shout out, our friend Sarah Stewart Holland at Bluegrass Redhead did a post just about this same thing, about not needing the first day of school outfit and kind of being intentional about that. She's done some great stuff about, I think she called it celebrating without consumption, that sometimes we equate something new, starting a new thing or celebrating with getting stuff. And we've talked about her Christmas series before too. And so we'll link to that post too. She had a cute one on her son's first day of kindergarten in his hand-me-down outfit, and that you can celebrate without making it about consumption. So
yeah,
I feel like we did a lot of shout outs in that little.
Well, we do. That's because people have said some smart things.
Yes.
Including me, it turns out. So that kind of leads us back into the back to school outfit thing, which I think the way that we do, and again, I think that you can decide, it's like Christmas or whatever holidays you celebrate. You kind of decide how your family's going to do it, and that becomes your family's thing, like your family's tradition. Right. So in our family, you know, we do gifts a certain way at the holidays. We do back to school shopping a certain way back to school time. So the kids will mostly each get a new pair of shoes. There are sometimes exceptions, like if they just got a great pair at the end of last year because the other ones fell apart. And they're brand new looking. We probably won't do it. They may get a new hoodie if their old hoodie is ratty or if they outgrown it, which usually it is or they have. Mm-hmm. And they'll often get like a mix and like something they can wear on the first day that's kind of like half new. Mm-hmm. So for Clara, for example, it might be a new top, but she's going to wear it with a pair of shorts she already has. Or it might be a new pair of jeans, but she's going to wear it with a tank top. Because, again, it's going to be hot. And a lot of schools don't even have air conditioning.
Yeah.
So especially, you know, in colder climates, they only really need cooling a couple times a year. So it gets hot in there. And so I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of stuff when it's not yet on sale. And we don't yet need it. And honestly, I haven't even had a chance yet to go through the seasonal clothes.
Right.
And I won't, because why would I?
Right, it's not
the change
of
seasons
yet.
And then I'll just end up having like this huge pile of clothes in my bedroom or whatever that is sort of in transition forever.
Right.
I'd rather wait until October and do winter shopping then.
Right.
So it just gives me a much clearer idea of what we have, what we need, and that kind of thing. I don't know. How about you? Do you have like a way that you like, do you have certain things you buy new and certain things you don't
have clothes? I think my primary motivation right now is that I can't handle going to major retailers with three small children. So all of my choices are based around the fact that I can't deal with taking three small children to a mall. So I really don't, I
really can't even deal with taking myself to a mall.
I know. I'm just thinking how much this has changed just because all of our retail behavior has changed, right? Our buying, like we do more on Amazon and we do more online. And so yes, I agree with everything you said. It'll be hot here. It'll be summer weather for a while. My two older kids have late April and early June birthdays and have very generous grandparents who often buy not just clothes. I mean, because the kids would get bored of that, but especially my 7-year-old gets some really cute, nice stuff, tea collection and, you know, mini Bowdoin and some really nicer brands as like special outfits for her birthday, but they're really beautiful clothes. So she often has kind of restocked like late spring, early summer. So she's good for clothes. What I've started doing, and this is another thing we can link to, is I've started keeping an eye on Zulily for brands that I already love. So if you don't know, Zulily is one of those kind of daily deals type sites, which I am not into except for that one. And it started when I was like up in the middle of the night nursing my third child. And Zulily's app, their mobile app, is just, it's really fun to browse and easy to browse. And those sites, they have some pros and cons. The shipping takes a long time and you often pay shipping costs. But what I will say for saving money on really higher quality brands is that if you know your kids' sizes and you know a brand that you love, that's when I think those types of daily deal sites can be great, because it's harder to take a risk on something if the, you know, returns can be complicated and all of that. But if you, like, I keep an eye on StrideRight shoes, and some other just brands that I probably wouldn't splurge on otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my barometer is if I can get those brands for target prices, then it's like a win-win. And I'll even pay a little shipping to do that. So that's not necessarily a back to school shopping strategy, but I do that year round, because once there's a brand that either fits really well, or Allegra's really picky about the way things feel. I know a lot of kids are, but like the softness of things. So if I find even just a brand of underwear or, you know, something that I know works really well, I usually check that like a couple times a week just to see. Oh, Hannah Anderson is another great brand that is on Zulily a lot. That is just, I mean, it's target prices for a pretty high quality brand. So I don't know. That's one of my
little
tips.
I like that. And to as much as I love Target, I want to say they're shoes for what they are so overpriced, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think the kid, like especially sneakers and kids' shoes, the quality that you're getting, you can get that quality much better elsewhere at similar prices. So I really, except for, you know, there's always those splurgy, like, look at these adorable sandals I'll pick up or whatever. I try to do like you do and look for the brands I think I can trust elsewhere.
Right.
And I think you can get great deals.
Yeah. I mean,
you can even get great deals. You know, Zulily is a great option, and I've definitely shopped them many times. It's kind of addictive, actually.
It is. It's fun.
But you can also get deals like that just by watching, you know, like other like Zappos or whatever, you know, different site you might use for purchasing shoes.
And I know
whatever.
People those get, I'm not really a mall shopper, but I know there's really good deals like the Gymboree Bucks and the, you know, the coupons that come down through those kind of stores. So
another thing, if you have a sporting goods store in your town, which I'm sure you probably do. I know I'm in a retail desert, but not everyone is. We have one called Dunham's.
Okay.
And they have really good deals on athletic shoes, and they're good brands.
Yeah,
I never, you know, think kids about just that. Need tennies, or they need, you know, their athletic shoes. And often, you know, a lot of those places, if you, you know, Dick's or Dunham's or whatever whatever you have in your town, often if you sign up, you get really good coupons, like 40% off an item sometimes. So it's worth checking that out if you're organized enough to do that times however many kids you have. And honestly, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not.
I know.
I also want to mention consignment. I don't do a lot of consignment shopping because I'm terrible at like, I've never been one of those people who can go into like a big overwhelming yard sale or TJ Maxx or whatever and find the gem.
I used to be before I had children. I used to love that. Antiques.
I don't know. Thrift stores. I love antiques and I like thrift stores, but like clothing, something about choosing clothing that way. I feel like I always walk out with the one thing that was crap.
It still cost $18.
And it, And it's part of it's because I don't keep up on like the brands as much. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what I'm getting often. You know, like I know for kids, Gap is good. Gymboree is good. Right. Like I know those brands are good and Hannah and those. But for the adult brands, I'm like, so is this, you know, the real, is this the real like, you know, designer jean or is this the one that TJ Maxx like made up? And decide to make it look like a designer so that they could artificially mark it down. And honestly, I don't know half the time. I need Shayna over at the Style Hour to school me. But anyway, I have decided like for me, so when I do consignment shopping, I've decided it's for me, it's worth doing two things. I look at the girls' dresses because those don't get a lot of wear and you can find fantastic girls' dresses from really good brands for like
and five, dresses six, seven are bucks. Great because size is kind of flexible.
Size is flexible. It can become a tunic.
You put them with leggings and they're good to go.
Yeah, and if it's a sundress you throw a cardigan over it. I mean, it's so flexible. It can be, you know, it can really last you a long time and through all seasons and it just don't seem to get really worn out. And the other thing is boys' jeans. I don't know what it is about boys' jeans. You would think that they would just be so wrecked that they wouldn't ever make it to consignment. And sometimes they are, but I have found some really good deals on like better brand boys' jeans.
Well, sometimes they are.
Especially in the age where they're growing super fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, like especially like the 8, 9, 10, 11 age range. Mm-hmm. I found when they're not wearing their clothes out quite as hard as they were when they were, you know, 5 or 6. Right. And I found great deals because jeans can get very spendy.
Yep.
And generally speaking, there just seems to be a big stock and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So those are the two things I will look for. And I don't even bother with the rest of it. I just walk out. Well, I'm not going to sort through all the, you know, the pilly sweaters and the stained t-shirts and all that. I'm
just to add to those. I had good luck. I have not found, I know there are consignment stores here where I am in Southern California, but in the year that we've moved here, I just haven't found them. But I used to consignment shop quite a bit in Arizona. And the one I will add to yours is uniforms. If you have kids in schools with uniforms, same thing. Some kids wear their clothes really hard and they never make it out. But, you know, I mean, you know, having kids with clothes, sometimes there's like that one skirt that they won't wear because it's uncomfortable and it never got worn or they grew really fast. So if you're stocking up on uniform stuff, and we were at a charter school that had uniforms in Arizona, and then my son will wear uniforms to kindergarten this year. That is a really good – they tend to put out their uniform stocks like starting in July and keep it out through back to school. And it can be picked over, but it can also be a really good way to stock up on that kind of stuff if all of a sudden you have to buy like 4 or 5 pairs of navy or khaki pants or whatever. And then one more, since we're talking about boys and pants – for uniforms is it's hard to find sometimes slim fit. And if you have a slim fit fellow like I do, where he wears his size in, you know, around, but he's tiny. I mean, sorry, in length. So the length, he wears a 5 and he's 5, but he's tiny around. That I had really good luck with. Gymboree makes a slim cut and a couple others do. So if you can look for those sales, if you know you need a slim, then and also consignment is good for that because they often have those higher end brands.
That's very true. And I will say, as I've had several slims myself. and if you absolutely cannot find slims, get the adjustable waist pants and just totally cinch them. He's got to cinch them.
I think I have to cinch even with the slims. I mean, it is.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But it's just like you can actually. It's hilarious though because it'll do that thing where it's like it's so cinched and then the hips and butt are kind of like poofed out. But they're little boys. They don't care.
It's getting better with the like because the styles are slimmer anyway. Target has that Shawn White brand, like the skinny brand. And it can actually look like not weird if they're tiny.
It's tough for me because I also have a husky and I have to say like that is really hard to because of those slim fits how everything is so slim. You know, it might be like bigger on the belly, but it's not big through like throughout. You know, it's so it is tough and I've had decent luck finding those at consignment stores, but actually I've done best at Land's End. They just have a really good selection of pants in different, you know, different waist sizes and different fits. So, and I just, sometimes there's just something about doing all of your shopping in like one or two or three places where it's easy and you can just kind of check everything off the list and be done and save the life energy and the time, you know? Right. So I like running around a little bit, but I don't like malls.
Yeah.
And I like department store shopping only a limited amount. Yeah. And then I get tired of it and I'm done.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Totally.
So if you find those go-to places, you know, try to do like a hack on that. You know, figure out where the people who shop those particular stores a lot, like how they manage it. Tea Collection's a great example. They have huge sales at Tea Collection, like 40% off if you know when to look. And you can get stuff really inexpensively, relatively speaking, but it's great stuff. And Clara has some Tea Collection dresses that she got years ago that still look fantastic.
Yeah.
And she still wears them like tunics or shirts.
Yes. Agreed.
So
they're beautiful. Yeah. So I think, if you find the brands you love, stick with them and look for the good deals, I think, and try consignment and don't worry about having it new on the first day of school. Yeah. One more thing on this. And then I think I want you to talk about also seasonal clothing, the swap out, because we could be post and you can talk a little bit about that. But I just remembered that last year we didn't buy much new, but I did take picking out a couple new t-shirts because my kids are at an age where like they think it's fun if there's like their favorite, you know, superhero on a t-shirt or whatever it is. And we turned it into like a little date. So I didn't even make it about the shopping. I took each one individually and we went and they picked out like two Old Navy t-shirts for a total of $10 or something. And then we went to Starbucks and got a treat. So I turned it into more of less of like, okay, we're shopping for back to school. We need to this, this, and this, and more that they got to kind of pick something that was their style at that moment. And then we got to spend a little time together. So that was kind of combining back to school with a little shopping and a little just special time.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And on the flip side from that, I just give my teenagers a a budget and I tell them to fill up their shopping cart online and then I just go put my credit card.
I love that.
It takes all the effort off my plate. And I don't feel like going around like arguing with them about what they're going to wear. I have to admit I'm very hands-off in that area about what my kids wear, as long as it's within reason and not disgusting. Yeah. It doesn't smell. I've got bigger fish to fry. So
picking battles.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about how you do manage the seasonal swap out when it cools down. And then we'll link, because you did a great how-to post about this a year ago.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that's so simple when I'm doing it. But then when I actually try to write that post, Sarah, I feel like I actually had to walk through each step to make sure I wasn't leaving anything out. So I'll give like the really basic summary and then you can go read the post to actually see how it's done, because it's simple, but it's like there's a lot of steps. So it's simple in that I basically, instead of like doing the swap year round or like in stages, I do it all in one day essentially. And so it means one day you're going to lose a day because it's going to take hours, especially if you have a lot of kids. But the nice thing is then you kind of don't really have to think about it again. So I throw all of our seasonal off-season clothing into...
So in this case, it would be winter stuff that'll be coming out.
It'll be winter stuff coming out right now. That stuff is all in, you know, tubs in my basement in bins, and it's all mixed up. All of our stuff is together. Mm-hmm. Also, what's mixed in with that is stuff that's between sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially anything we're not wearing right now is living in my basement in a tub. And though it's sort of roughly sorted out by kid, it's not specific to each kid, because what stuff will end up getting thrown in.
Right.
So at one point I will come. So for like the week before, I'll start kind of making sure like anything I see that comes through the wash, and I'll wait until we're really ready to make the switch, because the worst thing ever is when you make the switch and then the weather turns and you end up with hot days and you have nothing to wear. So I'll just start collecting stuff kind of slowly, and it'll be like, you know, I'll see like a sweater come through and I'll think, well, right now I would see like shorts come through and I'll think, okay, we're like kind of being done with shorts. I'm going to grab these out, and I'll start kind of setting them aside. And then at some point I will have, I mean, again, it's like really simple, but I'm making it sound more complicated than it is. One day I'll decide this is the day, and I have the kids bring me literally all of their clothes, and, you know, they just pile them up in laundry baskets and bring them down. And I have one huge pile of now clothes and one huge pile of like then clothes, right? And then I just go through and I put my hands on every single piece of clothing and I look at it, decide which kid is going to wear it, whether they're going to wear it now, so it goes back in their drawers, or if they're going to wear it next year, so it goes back in the, you know, off-season pile, or whether they're going to not wear it at all and it goes in the donation pile. And I just go through, I put my hands on every single piece of clothing. And what I like about that is you don't lose touch. Like I used to have all these tubs and bins all over my house that would say like, 5T winter.
Right.
Or, you know, boys, 7, you know, to 8 jeans. And it was just too specific.
Yes.
Stuff would get lost in my basement and I would never see it again.
Or something slipped into that bin.
Something
that wasn't
exactly
what I do that sometimes is then I'm
right,
like,
because
I missed out
you got the bin. It's like a half full bin and something ends up in there. So now it's like, it's very simple. You're either wearing it or you're not.
Right.
So at the end of the day, now the kids have a new stack of clothes to take up and put in their drawers. And I usually will keep a couple of things that are sort of between seasons in. So like right now, yes, it's summer, but the kids have like a sweater and 2 long sleeve shirts each and a couple pairs of jeans in their drawers because they might need that.
Right.
And so likewise, when it's winter, they'll have some t-shirts and some shorts that they can use for pajamas or sports practices or just if they happen to need shorts for whatever reason.
Right.
But for the most part, it's just an entire flip.
Well, and it's doing
it takes a while, but
it's doing outgrown and hand-me-down stuff at the same time as seasonal.
Exactly.
Which if you didn't do it all at once, you'd be doing double duty anyway.
And honestly, I'd be doing it all the time.
Right.
Like there'd be, I wouldn't be able to get away from it. Now, the only thing is Clara is really the one who threw the wrench in the works because she doesn't fit, you know? So what I do with her is it's really, the thing about hers is mostly, there's no hand-me-down.
Right.
Right. So it either goes, it either is hers for the season, it's maybe something that'll fit her next year, or it goes in the donation, or I give it to a younger relative.
Right.
But there's not, it's just a like one step that doesn't happen, I guess, with her.
Right.
But she's mixed in there just like, and my clothes are even mixed in there because I, you know, we all live in this house and we all wear clothes and all of our laundry ends up in the same place. So it just
I like that idea. I like the idea of just doing it all once and have it being thorough once and knowing you didn't miss anything and not having them oddly specific piles everywhere.
And I have to say, like, there's something really kind of emotional about it too. Like every year I'm going to put my hands on every piece of clothing and look at it. And I'll be like, oh man, this shirt, you know, this shirt passed down from Jacob and it's now Owen's outgrown it. Oh. And I get to have a little moment with that shirt. And half the time it's threadbare and it ends up getting thrown out. But you know, just like, there's just something about them that I really like. And
I hear,
you know, a routine that I do twice a year. I do it in, you know, October-ish or depending on the weather, how it's going, sometimes September. And then again in, you know, maybe April or May, again, depending on the weather.
I love that. Well, we'll link to that post. And you did a very thorough how-to there. So.
Yes, it was very, very thorough. The other thing I will say too is I have a few things that, you know, we don't have like a box of clothes that we're going to pass down to our kids. It just didn't really work out that way because our kids wore the crap out of all their clothes because they pass them through so many siblings. There just haven't been many like special outfits that got left intact at the end. And we've also given a lot of stuff to relatives. And I don't like having more stuff in my house than I have to. And I also have to say John's mom gave us a huge box of his clothes when we had Jacob. And they were 70s baby's clothes in the 90s. And I felt like obligated to put them on my baby. And it was kind of terrible. So I don't want to do that to my future, you know, daughter-in-law. I was like,
awesome.
Wow, there's so much polyester. These baby bell bottoms. Wow.
That's
so
awesome.
As you can imagine, like the styles were so different between the 70s and the 90s. It was just hilarious. But anyway, one thing I do though, is when I have like a certain little thing that I just can't bear to get rid of, and we all have those things, I just throw it back in the off-season pile, and then every year I get to look at it again.
Oh,
and
I love that.
We have this tiny little Star Wars, like little golf shirt, and it's in perfect condition. I mean, the kids all wore it, but somehow it just really lasted, and it just reminds me of Jacob when he was a baby with his like big round bald head, and you know, so I just keep throwing it back in, and I'll pull it out and be like, oh. And then I throw it back in again. So twice a year, I know I get to look at it and kind of get mushy over it.
I love it.
I love that.
That's great. Well, I have one more thing I thought we could wrap up with in terms of getting ready for school. And that's shifting gears a little bit, but that's sort of getting ready mentally, emotionally with your kids. Last year, you wrote a great roundup of books that feature kids going back to school. And last year, Clara started kindergarten, right? Which was maybe a little fraught for both of you. And so do you have anything to say on not just reading books, although that's a great strategy, but if you have kids that are a little anxious about start of school or even just more simply how you kind of prepare everybody mentally, emotionally for the start?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I wish that I could say I had some awesome strategy. I have found that every child is so different, like we always say, and usually most of us have been really ready. I'm not one of those people who does like a lot of dry runs or a super gradual ease right. in, although we will definitely start changing our bedtime habits mm-hmm. and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Usually we would do that a few days beforehand, but this year we'll be gone on vacation. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to work out that mm-hmm. way this yeah. year. And also we're going to miss like the back to school night thing at the they have an ice cream social okay. at school. So we're just going to kind of come home
just
from
show up.
Like, yeah, we're just going to kind of show up. And I'm just letting myself wing it this yeah. year. My kids are older, so there's not sort of the same. They kind of all know the drill.
Yep.
And I will say that if I had, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, I might be thinking differently about our vacation plans
right.
and how that would affect right. their bedtimes and stuff. I think in general, like starting to ease into that, mm-hmm. the earlier bedtimes, if you change your bedtimes in the summer, is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Talking about how the routine will be different. Maybe, especially if you have kids who are anxious, like mm-hmm. kind of going, driving them past the school and seeing mm-hmm. what route they'll take mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff can all be really helpful. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. No, I think here, well, I have something to say about that too, which is that yeah. I have one kid who benefits a lot from talking about how things are going to be. And I have one who that causes him more stress. So yes. it's funny. So it's very different per kid. So Allegra's like me. She likes to know what to expect. And she's actually gotten really very independent and cool about it. She was a more anxious, you know, preschooler and stuff. But I really think that, you know, having gone through that, she's actually very brave now about going off and trying new things. But she's like me. We both like to talk about what's going to happen. We like to think about it. It's also fun. Like, it's a fun way to think, oh, I right. wonder who my teacher's going to be. I wonder where I'll sit. And that doesn't stress her out. I think it actually helps her. She likes to talk about it. And that's how I am. And Reed is the opposite. I can tell he kind of shows his worries and anxieties in different ways. And a little bit is good because it's never good to be like, surprise, it's your first day of kindergarten. Here we go.
Oh, you didn't know about this?
But I can just see him like going into his head a little bit more when I talk about details. So
Owen was like that too.
And talk about what's yep. going to be the same. He's starting kindergarten, but it's at the same school where he was at preschool. So that's a good thing. It's a different classroom, different teacher, and it'll be full day. Those are the main differences. But the school will be familiar. So that's great. But less is more with him. Just yeah. enough so that it's not a shock to wake up and realize, oh, you know, I have to go to school today. But too much is not good. So I think
it's kind of like how the difference between the kid where the kid who needs like the extended goodbye and the right. one where you, yes. you know, you just slip out the door while they're not paying attention.
Exactly.
And we all have one of each, right. or, you know, sometimes we don't, but like,
right. yeah.
as one who's and, had several of each, it's like, there's a big difference.
You know, both our ways are with dealing with some apprehension, but it's mm-hmm. completely opposite. Yeah. So I just think it just helps to kind of pay attention and know your kid and also yeah. to know yourself and know that, like, cause I still am tempted to be like, we have 7 more days and then it's kindergarten right. and here's what's going to happen. And I'm like,
he's like, would you quit it with the countdown, Mom?
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I realized yesterday is I was just thinking about back to school and I realized that this will be the first year. And this is maybe the first time in my life as a mom where no one cries when I leave. Likewise, no one's going to cry on their first day. I mean, Clara, I don't think so. She was a terrified mess last year. Yeah. And this year she's like, whatever. So it's just, it's bittersweet. You know,
yeah.
it's like,
well, you should probably cry then.
I'm going to have to, I'll be the one crying. I should write an essay about that.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably wrap this
yes.
one up.
Oh, okay. I have one more thing. Really quick.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
On that same topic, which is if you have new kids starting new schools in the littler grades, preschool and kindergarten, just to expect that the first day often goes better than you think, not always, but better because you build it up and you're all really prepared. But that getting used to things really does linger. If you're not prepared for that, just the getting used to the schedule and sometimes like all of that bubbles forth like a week or 10 days later and you'll see their, you know, behavior change or they'll be more tired or I think that's yes. something to expect if you're newer at this, that the first day isn't everything, just like we talked
it's
about supplies and shopping, but getting used
yeah.
to it, you know, mentally, emotionally, it does not all click on the first day.
We should do a show like in a month or two about mid-fall slump.
Yes.
I feel like we've already done shows about slumps, but I feel like there's just these natural patterns that we go through
yeah.
and definitely, you know, there's that like rush of energy you get at the beginning and everyone's into it. And then, yeah, you crash, you burn. Maybe a week or 10 days in, things are working themselves out. But then even a month in, that's when I start to go downhill.
Yeah.
It's like a month or two in. It's when I start to run out of steam.
Like, so you still have to get up and make lunches.
Like, oh, wait, what? This is still happening?
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully everybody listening has had a good start to their school year or will in the next few days. I'm wishing myself a happy first day of school when this episode airs.
Happy first day, Sarah. Yeah. And definitely, like Sarah said at the beginning of the show, check us out at themomhour.com or send us an email at hello@themomhour.com. And the other thing we want to implore of you is to leave us a rating or review. We read them. They help other people read them. Whatever you're using to listen to the show, whether it's, you know, Stitcher or iTunes or whatever, leave a rating or review. It really does help. And if you're just listening on, you know, on your browser at themomhour.com, that's also awesome. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Leave us a comment and let us know what you like.
Absolutely.
And don't like.
And check the show notes for this episode, which will be episode 17, because we talked about a ton of
a lot. I hope resources
and
tips.
I actually did. Usually
good for you.
I remember it. And then the show notes go up and I listen and I'm like, oh, I have to add 18 things back in there that I said I was going to. But I actually have been making real live notes. So we'll link to everything we talked about, from posts to ideas to electric pencil sharpeners and lunchboxes and all the good stuff we talked about. So thanks, everybody. Cool. We'll be back next week with another new episode.
Yep. See you then.